Reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he'd finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In the last few months, I've had a couple of experiences that have brought my attention very close to the rosary. And, you know, I've always carried a rosary. I think from the time I was in college, I had a very interesting brother, teacher of history. And the third question on the test he gave us each day was to trace the outline of the crucifix that we would take from our pockets. Well, after the first class, when almost nobody had a rosary in his pocket, we never stopped carrying one. And from that day, I've always had a rosary in my pocket. I'm not sure the exact reason, but certainly hovering over me was that interesting little interlude between religious piety and academics. So I've always had a rosary in my pocket, and whenever I sometimes find myself fingering it, sometimes I'll take it out and say it's there, and I know that it's there, and it's something that I want there. And it also comes from my family. My mother was a great devotee of the rosary, and every afternoon would sit on the couch and would say her rosary along with a number of other prayers, always for us, for the family. I noticed one time when my little four-year-old niece was sitting on the couch fumbling with something, and I asked her what she was doing, and she said, "I'm doing what Grandma always does," and she was saying her rosary. I don't know that she was saying the rosary, but she was at least tiddling with it. My contacts the last few months that have really brought my attention focused on the rosary had to do, first of all, with the incredible interview that occurred a few weeks ago on between Stephen Colbert and Vice President Biden. It was an extraordinary expression of faith on the part of the vice president. And he talked a lot about what he believed and what going to Mass did for him. And he said in just almost a passing fancy, "And of course I always say the rosary every day because I like to do that and I feel good doing it." But the interviewer, Stephen Colbert, said, "Well, so do I." That caught my attention in a way that I wasn't quite able to understand. The next thing was in watching, because I was recovering from surgery, I was in bed a lot, and I was able to watch the Pope's trip on CNN to Cuba and then to the United States. And the thing that got my attention is every time the camera would pan the crowd, you would see these young men and women, not just the older people, but these young men and women who would be fingering their rosaries and saying their prayers. I just, once again, that caught me off guard. I thought to myself, I didn't expect to see that among those young people. And yet, my experience of nearly 50 years always dealing with university communities, and for the most part, university students, the rosary was an incredibly important prayer for them. At Stanford University, where I spent the last 13 years, we had the public celebration of the rosary twice a day, every day, once in the chapel and once in one of the dining rooms of the residence halls. And they organized it themselves, they put it together, they reminded people. I mean, it was very edifying to me, and I would try to go whenever I could. So there's a kind of a, maybe a renaissance of interest in the rosary And it had to do with their very serious devotion to that prayer. It gave them everything they needed to pray. They were able to use their fingers and keep themselves busy. They were able to think about the mysteries of the incarnation, and they were able to say the prayers, which somehow helped them from being distracted. The basic intention of Dominic when he presented the rosary to the church for our prayer life, all those things fell together. The interviews, the watching the TV narration of Pope Francis, and then finally one thing more. In the hospital, there was a young man who was one of the certified nursing aides, and he would come in and take care of various needs. And I had the rosary on the side of my bed near the table. And he picked it up and he said, "What is this?" And I told him what it was. And he said, "Well, we use that same thing. We pray like that." And he proceeded to tell me how they prayed and why they prayed with their facsimile of a rosary. And all those things kind of became overwhelming. And I found myself using that rosary maybe more than I ordinarily did, just because of those experiences and the interviews, the watching of the TV, the young Tibetan who had been, by the way, a monk for a number of years. And I said to myself, you know, there's something here. And the gospel today, of course, tells us how to center on the prayer life that Jesus proposes, recognizing our sins, asking for forgiveness, forgiving others, and doing it in a prayerful way, in a kind of a disciplined way. And if we're going to be serious about our prayer life, and obviously it's important that we are, we need to do the same kind of thing. We need to focus on God's love for us. We need to focus on the incarnation. We need to focus on the need for our individual asking for forgiveness and our promise of forgiving others. And all of that because we believe that there's a purpose in it, and that is eventually we come to eternal life in that special way with God and Jesus and in saying the rosary with Mary. There's a wonderful experience in knowing that our mother is with us in that prayer. And just as Jesus told us to pray the Our Father, I'm sure if we would say to Mary, "Teach me how to pray," she'd probably teach us the Our Father, telling us what we needed to do in order to bring ourselves into the Christian community in a more focused way. She'd probably remind us that it was important to profess our faith, that it was important for us to recognize our faults and to ask forgiveness, and then to forgive others for having done whatever it is we think they've done to us. Those are incredibly important things for us to do in terms of our own prayer life. And whether you're the vice president or a famous television person or a simple person looking to see the Pope, or a young kid from Tibet who'd been a monk asking for a little lesson in how to pray the rosary, it's something for all of us to look at as a special and inclusive prayer, something that brings us together, brings us into the life of the community, and then attaches us historically to those who have gone before us, those who will come later, and those who are doing what we're doing now. I can't tell you how many times in the course of those nearly 50 years of dealing with young people, when they've asked me, "How do I pray?" and they ask frequently, I would ask them if they'd ever tried the rosary. In most cases, they had not. They remembered it, but they had not. And we had wonderful enclosed sisters, Dominican nuns, who made rosaries for us, and we always had them available to give to the students when they asked for them. And I was surprised at how often we asked for a refill of our order of rosaries because the request for the rosaries by the students was so great. So that praying of the rosary, a universal prayer, It's prayed by individuals, great and small. It's prayed by communities. It's prayed by students. It's prayed by older people. All of us have the opportunity and the charge to go to the heart of our faith and to pray, acknowledging the incarnation and what it means, asking for forgiveness, and promising to forgive ourselves. And Jesus says, if you want to know how to pray, this is how to pray. And again, as I said earlier, I'm sure if we asked Mary, teach us how to pray, she'd say, why don't you try the Lord's Prayer?